Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Hey everybody, Sean here. Just a heads up before we start this episode. We actually recorded this episode at like 1 a.m. Just to get it in. It was kind of quick because Joe just got married. Yeah. But so it was kind of quick. I don't think it's our best, but I don't know. We're also super critical. So if you don't like it, please give us another shot. We promise it'll be better next time. We're really sorry. But I also think it's actually kind of fine. But yeah, that's it. Next week, we're going to start our December programming, which I don't think we've even finalized yet. But we'll let you guys know on our Facebook page. And that's really it. So enjoy the show and congratulations to Joe.
Greetings from Tromerville. This is Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. And you know, folks, when we're not making those great movies like Tromeo and Juliet and Return to Nukem High Volume 1 and Volume 2, we like to kick back and listen to the horror show, because the horror show with Bill and Mike and what are your names again?
Sean and Joe.
With Sean and Joe. The horror show with Sean and Joe rhymes, and that's reason enough for it to be the best show that we gay people like.
Show, the show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Joe, you sound a little under the weather.
Got a little frog in my throat.
Well, that's not good. I also am sick. I contracted this disgusting virus yesterday and I want to kill myself today.
So. Yeah, this has been like a week for me.
Oh, it's fucking brutal. So are we on the air? We just did a really super boring live stream to test for the Stannies. And successful, very successful. If you want to call it just sitting there and making people watch me read Tumblr.
Yeah, successful. I mean, it worked. Yeah. I guess a success.
I mean, that's really what I was testing. Ah, Trovember is over.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Kind of glad. I started watching movies for our Best Of feature in January, and
I have so much catching up to do.
So much. And I start watching it. But you get a nice break. You get a nice vacation.
I do. But when are we recording it? Right?
No, I think we're pretty good. I think I scheduled it so we have a while. I don't know. We'll look. We can push it back a week, too. Glad we're making our plans on the air. I'm so sick, like, it's not even registering that we're
recording this.
The amount of meds that I'm on, codeine I've been guzzling, I'm on a different planet.
So, yeah. But my point was, I've been watching all these best of 2015 movies, and I'm just like, oh, right.
Movies are good.
good horror movies. No offense, Lloyd. But, yeah, like, really, they're nice palate cleansers.
Yeah, for sure.
Even the worst ones, I'm like, nice. This was made in a set.
Did I tell you I watched Thanksgiving 3?
No, Paul told me.
Dude.
He said it was, like, the worst movie ever.
That was some brutal shit.
Well, speaking of brutal shit, we're talking about... And I'm going to defend this statement a little later, but probably the worst movie ever made.
I do not agree.
Well, okay, we're going to get into this right now then. We're talking about Silent Night, Deadly Night, 1987.
87.
The follow-up to Silent Night... Did I say part two? I don't think I said
that. I have no clue.
Silent Night, Deadly Night part two from 1987 is what we're talking about. It is the follow-up to the 1984 movie Silent Night, Deadly Night. Obviously. Fucking I remember so vividly like the original artwork for the first one with the arm and the axe hanging out of the chimney, and then I saw the artwork for this one as I was about to watch it, and I was like, oh wow, I remember this,
the ornament with the gun.
Yeah
it's a great artwork.
I hate that artwork.
You don't like it?
No, because I don't like horror movies with guns. It's not a horror movie.
Well,
99% of the time
I thought it was a sweet. I always thought it was a sweet artwork.
Yeah, this was released in
it's a crime movie.
This was released in April 10th, 1987.
Oh, so topical.
Really picking up that Christmas.
This had a theatrical release.
It did. A very small.
Yeah.
Very minuscule. But why I call this the worst movie ever.
I'm wearing a Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 shirt.
I see that. Why I call it the worst movie ever is... at least the other movies, I've just never seen anything like this. Where they, for 45% of the movie is... That is calculated.
Is it?
Is clips from the first film.
Yeah, so I didn't do the math, but I knew the first 45 minutes were from the first film. And then the next 45 minutes, you can't even count because the credits are 12 minutes long.
It's insane.
The credits are 12 fucking minutes.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That is insane. I can't believe how long. Yeah, 45%. It's 39 minutes and 30 seconds.
So me and our buddy Amato... watched the first Silent Night, Deadly Night when we were in high school, and then we immediately went out and rented this one. And I mean, like, immediately, like, we watched it during the day,
yeah.
And we went out and rented this one, and I could not believe that we were just watching the same movie again at the start. I was like, this is fucking unbelievable.
Well, that's what I did this time around. I watched both of them, and I haven't seen Silent Night, Deadly Night.
You never seen it before?
No.
It's pretty good.
So this is my I loved it.
Right?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was so good. And Joe had warned me that the first half was a recap of like literally clips from the first movie.
I mean, it's not an exaggeration.
And I thought it was an exaggeration, but it is not at all. 39 minutes or whatever? 39 minutes and 30 seconds? Because I just watched it, I fast forwarded it.
Right. Okay. Dude, well, when I first watched it in high school, I thought, like, there was, like, something wrong with me. That, like, I was like, wait, I literally just saw this fucking movie.
Saw it in the future. It is insane. It is insane. This movie had a $100,000 budget.
$100,000?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's way too much.
I feel like it is, too, because it takes place...
In one room in for room. Most of it.
Most of it. And half of it's clips from another movie.
No, exactly. It was only filmed in 10 days.
Oh my god.
10 fucking insane. Days.
Let's see. I've got some good notes here, too.
Did you make note of how many times Ricky's eyebrows go up and down? Because it's 130 times.
The hardest working actors in the movie. On the film's DVD commentary, the filmmakers say they were paid a dismal amount of money to make the film. Originally, they say they were told to re-edit the first film and pass it off as a sequel.
Wait. So their task was to just make edits in the first film and say it was a sequel?
Director Lee Harry said he insisted that a new film be shot, though he did not have the budget to create an entirely new story. So they give him a $100,000 budget just to edit? Chop up a movie? I need to get into Hollywood.
Dude, I'll do that shit right now for free.
I know. I'm not a proud man. I will chop up my art. Eric Freeman, that's the actor, right?
Who plays Ricky.
Yeah. He has plans to direct a sequel to Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Because what's odd is they did like an anniversary and no one can find him. Like he refused to return calls and like be part of it. But now he... Wait, I think I read that somebody claims he refused to return any of their calls, but then they saw him at like a private screening of that movie. Oh, he was just like there watching it.
That's so weird. I mean, he kind of reminds me of... who's that guy from the Friday the 13th that dances?
Crispin Glover?
Crispin Glover. He kind of reminds me of a little bit of a Crispin Glover. Like, he's too weird. He's too weird for it to be acting, because you're not that good of an actor.
Oh, he's a terrible actor.
Yeah.
Every line that he delivers is bonkers.
I meant to revisit this movie before we recorded, because I wanted to get in the zone, because I wrote down so many quotes from him. And I forget how he says them, because he talks so bizarrely.
I mean, we brought this up in the past on the podcast, but like, why? We've never acted, so I can't talk on it, but why is this so hard to talk normally? like, just have a conversation with someone and make it sound like you're having a conversation with someone.
This guy makes it look like it's the hardest thing to do. Like, everything he said.
Fuck off, Doc.
Yeah. Red car?
Jesus.
Going too fast for you, Doc? Red car? Good point. What the fuck? My old lady couldn't afford me to send to college, so I got a job.
Dude, I wrote that quote down in all caps.
It's so funny. What is that? What?
Tell me about Jennifer. Eat shit.
And we're not even doing his voice justice. It's so insane. And the eyebrows are moving. There's a whole... I would suggest watching this to anyone only just to see how insane it is. How did this get made done, this movie?
Nah.
That's shameful. Because this is out of control. Also, I wanted to just talk about the first movie real quick, because I thought this was pretty cool. Surrounded in controversy.
Yeah.
The first one. People were very upset that they were running commercials with a murdering Santa in them.
Sure.
Which I never really thought about.
I mean, yeah.
It's bad.
It's a major motion picture. Kids are watching
it. Yeah. And they were playing it on TV, and they boycotted it, and it was bad. They got a negative... insanely negative reception. Siskel and Ebert condemned the film and went so far as to read names of the film's production crew on air, telling them, shame on you.
Jesus. I mean, it's not that bad.
They also said every dollar they made was blood money.
Wait, what? What does that mean?
Like, I don't know. Like, do they really think they killed Santa Claus? Leonard Maltin denounced the film, calling it a worthless splatter film, giving it 0 stars. And asking, this is out of control. What's next? The Easter Bunny as a child molester? It's a little bit of a stretch. I don't see anything wrong with it, but maybe this is kind of controversial in the 80s. I mean, 84.
Yeah, but the 80s was just filled with cocaine strippers. Why is that a big deal?
I know, it's so weird. But let's get into this.
I feel like we did. We just wrap the show right now.
We really should. So basically, this is a hard movie to do because we kind of have to explain the first one.
I know.
Right? Like, I didn't even think about that until just then. So basically, in the first one, you have a killer Santa Claus who there's not even really a reason he kills people, because he saw Santa Claus murder his family.
Well, yeah, that's why. They're driving.
Yeah, so he feels the need to do the same. He kills a bunch of people. It's so good. Watch that movie, for sure.
Yeah, it's important to say, too, he's in, what do you call it? Not a boarding school.
Orphanage.
It's where the nuns run the place, and there's Mother Superior, who's like... The antagonist, yeah,
and because his parents were murdered by Santa,
right.
So he's going on a murderous rampage. He ends up at an orphanage again to get his final kill. Spoiler alerts, skip ahead like 10 seconds if you don't want to know. He's killed by police officers, and this is in front of like 30 children,
30 orphans, yeah,
30 orphans. One of these orphans is Ricky.
His little brother. Yes.
Now, with that said, you can now skip 39 minutes of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 and be caught up. Because now Ricky is in a psych ward.
Yes.
He's being interrogated, but it's weird because they're acting like he just got picked up. But then they say this is like the 12th psychiatrist he's had.
Yeah, well, isn't he like in the same clothes as the flashback scenes?
Yes, he absolutely is.
Could you say how it starts off and there's a there's a guy who comes in the room and just he has the most menacing stare and he doesn't do anything except like engage Ricky in the most epic stare down ever.
Oh my God.
Like he doesn't move. He doesn't like break eye contact with him. It's so awkward.
It's so weird. It's so fucking weird.
And the camera, oh my God. And the opening scenes, the camera is so zoomed in on Ricky's face that his entire face is on the screen. Did you notice that?
No.
Dude, his like chin's not on screen because it just zooms into his face so far.
There's so much wrong with this.
Like the first 5 minutes just set the tone of the movie because it has like this shitty piano work that's playing. Oh my God. No, the person who's playing it clearly hasn't played a piano, just hitting keys.
So this doctor has like a reel to reel, and he's basically having Ricky tell his story, which the first 39 minutes is the clips from the first one with Ricky. Sometimes talking over them, explaining what happened. What could he explain, though? Oh, a lot. Because he tells the entire story of his family being murdered. And yeah, the doctor asks him, how could you remember all of that? Because he was an infant.
Yeah.
He was not even a toddler.
He was an infant.
He was a baby in a car seat.
Yeah.
And he yells, because I was there!
Right.
Yes, we got that, Ricky.
It's not like they can even pull off like, oh yeah, he was there. They actually show him as the infant. So,
right.
So it leaves no doubt in your mind that he can't remember that.
It's insane. I'm going to try to edit out Joe's coughs, everyone, but if you hear him, just so you know.
Yeah.
He's just sick. So. And yeah, the other weird part about these flashbacks is the first movie is entirely about Billy. Ricky's never around, yet Ricky's recounting all these stories.
Everything, yeah.
As if he was there. Yeah. He would have no idea. The psychiatrist would be better off talking to the police.
Right. who killed him.
To the crime scene.
Yeah.
All the crime scene. Not his little brother. Do I even have to... Why am I arguing about this? All right. So let me see. We got to get into like the meat and bones of this. All right. So
what meat and bones?
39 minutes, 30 seconds. We get our first glimpse of new material. He's moved in with a family named the Rosenbergs.
Yep.
And the good old joke, they definitely didn't get involved with Christmas. Nice. We find out that the orphanage had closed down. But little Ricky has some major issues. No issues with Santa like his brother. He's got issues with nuns?
Yes.
Because he like has a freak out.
Right.
When he sees nuns walking down the street. I'm still not really sure why, because Mother Superior was a bitch, I guess.
I think so, yeah. Because that's the main one that he wants to go back after.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
can we just say that the guy's trying to pry into his life right now, and he tells him, well, maybe we're jerking off here, huh? You're good, Doc, but I know all the moves, and I'm going to squash you like a bug.
Oh, my God. He had so many dumb lines. This movie is pitiful. His stepdad dies, and it's when he's older, and they still hired another actor to play him. It's like, why didn't they just use Ricky?
Yeah, I know.
He was like an adult. They got another adult actor to play him at the gravesite mourning his stepfather's death.
And then that same scene, he makes the claim, like, it shows, he goes, you tend to get paranoid when everyone around you gets dead. And then it shows him walking, and he doesn't look paranoid at all. He looks fucking happy and content.
Ricky proceeds to say he's never told anyone this before. And he starts walking through the back roads. I mean, it's kind of confusing the way we're telling it, because he's telling us something and then we're seeing clips of it happening. It's so weird. He's going through all these back roads after his dad dies, and he stumbles upon a couple getting frisky in the woods. And he's being a real creep.
Yeah.
And watching, and he's got the biggest, dumbest grin on his face. And then this guy just starts randomly raping this girl.
Yeah, for no real reason.
It was very strange. And then, anyway, he starts having flashbacks to when his mother was murdered because they tore off her clothes.
Right.
And he's an infant, so he remembers all of this. He remembers specifically what was happening. Rick screams, "Naughty!" Or little Rick. He's not even little. "Naughty!" And he runs over him. In his own Jeep.
Yes.
Runs over this dude. And the Jeep is bouncing so much going over that button. They clearly just put a giant boulder underneath. Because this Jeep is like going up like 13 feet every time. And the weirdest part of this was the girl says thank you.
I know.
Just murder. Murder. Like, you didn't even stop him. You could have run him over and just left him under the car. Probably wouldn't have died. But instead, you kept backing up and going over him multiple times. And by the way, I'm not saying you shouldn't kill rapists. You should probably kill rapists. But what I'm saying is that no one would say that. Right. No one would just come up to you and think.
You'd be totally shocked about A, being raped, and then B, watching a murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be near that guy either.
No.
Nothing. The guy that came out of the woods and just ran over this guy. Like, I'd be like, I'm dead. I'm so dead. Oh boy. So this sets him into this is the start of Crazy Ricky.
Yes.
Crazy Ricky. And this is when also the shrink has written down the shrink's taking notes, and in huge letters he's written "red car!" exclamation point. As if that's the main topic. And then that Ricky like essentially pops over his shoulder like a cartoon. And it's like, "Going too fast for you, Doc? Red car. Good point." His eyebrows are going like 3,000.
Dude, I tried to like talk like that before I came over just to see if I could pull it off. I can't talk and raise my eyebrows like
that. It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. "Red car?" I'm trying it right now. For those of you can't see me, which is all of you.
Yeah, and then he pries into the doc's life, and the doc's answering him seriously. Why is he doing that?
Yeah, and then I think he's eventually like, "Oh, that's none of your business."
Yeah, that's what he says.
After, like, telling him that.
But he already answered everything.
Details of his life.
And the way
he's, son?
The way he's answering him, he's so like concerned and like opening up to him. It's absurd. Oh,
the guy shouldn't even be there. "My old lady couldn't afford to send me college, so I got a job." We should just read the quotes over and over. They're just the funniest thing.
Yeah, he's like a human cartoon.
He is. He gets so mad and he just emphasizes the dumbest shit. Like, he should be screaming about, "My old lady couldn't afford to send me to college," because, you know, it's...
Yeah.
That's so, a tough situation. Yeah. So, but he screams, "So I got a job." Dude, it's honestly like a fucking cartoon. It's so ridiculous. So he starts working as a busboy or some restaurant job. And he sees a mob boss beating down this guy for...
Which he describes as, it sounded like some squirrel getting his nuts squeezed. Did not sound like that at all. Sounded like a guy getting beat up.
Yeah, sounded like a guy getting pummeled, but nothing at all like that. And we kind of get this another weird tick of Ricky's, which is he sees a red cloth in this guy's hand, and he, like, loses it and goes bananas and kills him.
Ricky's face looks so fucking stupid in this scene. Like, I don't know how he made that face. I can't even describe it.
But he's over the nuns, and I guess he's back to Santa, because just a piece of red cloth will set him off.
Yeah, and he throws the mob boss like he is nothing. He flies through the air into the cardboard boxes.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then he lifts him up with one hand. Lifts him up with one hand, which must run in the family, because in the first film, the brother lifts someone up with one hand in Christmas lights.
That's exactly what I was about to say. These dudes are the most superhuman characters I've ever seen in my
life. I wrote down Ricky might be Superman, because that mob boss is punching him in the face and is like breaking his hand.
He is holding him up and literally, this defies all physics. You would have to have the strength of Superman. He's holding him by the throat in the air and stabbing an umbrella through his chest.
Holy shit.
He's the strength of both of those feats. You couldn't.
He stabs an umbrella through him and then he opens it. Do you know how hard? How do you open it? Because it has those fucking annoying buttons that are almost impossible to, like, get through. You know what
and
I mean?
And then it starts raining after he does it. Just to, you know, bring home the point. Oh, man. They're really insulting our...
And he doesn't even jam that umbrella through him. He slowly pushes it through.
That's what I should say. So he's holding him up in the air with his left hand and slowly pushing an umbrella through with his right hand. This is I can't even explain how literally impossible it is. Even if you want to let one thing slide.
Yeah, holding the arm.
There's still nothing.
What kind of umbrella is that sharp? You probably shouldn't have it.
No. No, it's a weapon. It's a fucking knife. If you have it. Oh, boy. The doctor's perplexed, so he's never seen these two incidents in his report before. He's starting to get a little nervous, and he asks if he knows why he's here. He asks about Jennifer.
Eat shit.
One day we just bumped into each other.
By bumping into each other, he means Jennifer hit him with her fucking car while he's riding a motorcycle.
While riding a motorcycle. And it's the most pathetic fall off the motorcycle scene I've ever seen.
It really is.
There's just so much wrong with it. But he's like slowly falling. He's like late. He's like bracing himself. And then he kind of just lets go the last couple inches. Really bad. Jennifer gets out of the car and just laughs like a psychotic.
Yeah.
Which is super unsettling. But these two idiots fall in love, I guess. We get a 3-minute montage. Oh my God. I forgot about these montages. Because there's so many of them. So we get a 3-minute montage of them riding motorcycles everywhere.
Yeah.
Just riding motorcycles everywhere, like it's Top Gun. Then we get a 3-minute lovemaking montage, which is equally as gross. And we get a little, what would you call this, a foreshadow? That was my first time. I thought it was Jennifer's, too. That was way too nice for his voice.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically what he's talking about is what spurs his murderous rampage, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
He's in a movie theater. I'm not even going to explain this whole scene. Actually, this scene's so stupid. So he's in a movie theater, and this movie is a cartoon. Actually, the more I think about it, the more this should be registered as an animated film. Because... there's just so much.
You mean when he kills that guy in the movie theater and his popcorn flies everywhere?
Yeah.
His legs just shoot up.
Yep. Which, by the way, those guys pissed me off so bad. They're eating popcorn and just saying the dumbest shit. Oh, wait. And the movie they're watching is the first movie.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
With no reference to it. Like, why would that? Why would they be watching that? It's about Ricky's life.
So there's these assholes in the back of the theater, and they're making kissy noises at Ricky and his girlfriend, which, by the way, everyone in this theater is, like, 30 years old. Why would you give a fuck?
I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to the movie theater.
Like, oh, my God. And so then he gets up. Ricky's like, I'll be right back. And he gets up and goes to the back of the theater, which was not a theater, by the way. It was like an office that they just put a bunch of chairs in. And Ricky, you don't even see him up there. You just, it cuts up there and the guys are gone. And you just see the popcorn flying out from behind the scenes.
No, you see Ricky for like a split second.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but you don't see him kill him.
But he's doing something that's making him throw popcorn everywhere.
And their legs shoot up.
Now, here's where it gets even better in the cartoon sense. So Jennifer's sitting in the movie theater now by herself because Ricky's murdering somebody. And all of a sudden, her ex-boyfriend just pops up in the seat behind her, like directly behind her. And it's like, hey, Jennifer.
Guess who? And she goes, Chip. Yuck.
So we meet Chip, who's her ex-boyfriend, who still loves her.
Yes.
I don't know how else to explain it, because this is just the dumbest shit ever. He is the dumbest looking man ever, too.
Yeah, he is.
These actors are the pits. But basically, she sends Chip away.
Yep.
But Chip reveals, you know, like, when we got busy in the backseat of my car. She's like, Chip, get the fuck out of here. Chip leaves. And she, like, turns her head to the right, and now Ricky's sitting there, like, as if nothing happened. And, like, he just magically got there.
He's right.
Like, hey, Jennifer. It's the weirdest
thing. I love this movie.
Oh, my God.
So now it cuts to them walking down a street, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, this is the greatest scene in the history of movies.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Yeah, Ricky and his gal are walking down the street. Chip's working on his car. He decides to make fun of Ricky, because why not?
Yeah, he goes, if I knew you'd sink this low, I never would have dumped you. And she goes, that's enough.
Everyone's an asshole in this town.
then Ricky goes, that's enough. And then Chip goes, listen, bud. What does he say? Hold on.
Joe has so many quotes. I'm looking at his notes. It looks like a movie.
I just lost it because I'm on. He goes, that's enough. He goes, listen, bud, that's what she said when I fucked her brains out. Oh, yeah. And then the girl trips. He goes, falling for me again, huh?
This guy's quick. I like his style.
And then the dumbest kill scene I've ever seen happens. Ricky's mad that this guy is, you know, talking poorly about him. So he goes and takes the jumper cables that are in Ricky's car, which, what is he charging? What is he jumping? Did he have a box? Like, there's nothing it was hooked to.
I don't know. I thought I saw, like, a charger box, but, like, a handheld one.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
It doesn't matter. This scene is out of control.
He takes the charger and he sticks it in Chip's mouth.
Oh, the clamps. Yeah. The battery clamps. He sticks them in his mouth. Which would honestly probably just sever your tongue first.
Yeah, because they clamp so hard.
Before even electrocuting you. But instead we get this like really long, absurd, exploding eyeball glasses.
Yeah, it's complete with the, you know, the 80s effect of the lightning electricity bolts going through your face.
So good. Like out of Frankenhooker.
Yeah.
They must have all just shared that same effect. Some guy made a fortune selling that effect to everyone.
So he puts the jumper cable in his mouth. And then his eyes and his glasses explode. And then, of course, Jennifer's mad because...
Are you out of your mind? I hate you.
And it flashes back to Mother Superior. And then sticking with the cartoon scene, Jennifer goes, gulp. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. This is a cartoon. I can't believe that. Uh-oh. As she's running away. Holy shit. But here's the weird thing. You just watch somebody get, like... gruesomely murdered.
Yeah.
And the only thing you have to say is,
I hate you.
I hate you.
Yeah. Don't say that to him.
You're mad.
Tell him you love him.
Yeah.
Run the fuck away.
You're fucking stupid. Yeah. Like, thanks. Thank you. Let me go to the police now. And he strangles her with a car antenna, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool scene.
Yeah. It
was not bad. Pretty cool that he murdered some innocent woman. While this is happening, the cops come. And Ricky's eyebrows.
The cop comes out of nowhere.
Cops comes out of nowhere, and Ricky's eyebrows go into double time.
Yeah, they do.
Ricky's eyebrows are working for the weekend at this point. They are going crazy.
The cop goes, freeze, asshole. He turns around, his eyebrows are.
Wait, Can we talk about this cop that was like 13 years old?
Can we talk about how crooked his hat is?
He's like got a his pants are so big, like his belt is like he's probably got like 37 notches on that belt. It's his fucking everything's baggy, and he's got a your typical police hat.
But it's so
tilted,
crooked,
tilted sideways,
it's like covering one eye
completely, like a cartoon again. And he looks like a baby. He looks like he's 13 years old. And he comes up to Ricky just flailing his gun around. And Ricky just takes his gun. And
Sean, that doesn't do it justice. That gun is in Ricky's face. Ricky grabs the gun. But Ricky doesn't turn the gun. But it somehow shoots him right between the eyes. Yeah, the gun's still pointing at Ricky.
And Ricky starts walking down the street just shooting people and laughing.
Yeah, some neighbor's like, what's all that noise? He's like, motherfucker. Just shoots him. He's laughing. It's not even a normal laugh.
Oh, it's like...
It's the turkey from Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's so insane. At this point, I have a note. I honestly can't wait for this movie to be over.
I love this scene.
Garbage Day.
Garbage Day is one of the greatest scenes
ever. I remember seeing that online for the first time and being like, what the fuck is this?
So for anyone that doesn't know, after he's shooting just random people, there's a guy who put... is this actually well shot, this scene? Because there's a guy who puts the garbage can down and he lifts up a garbage can and the camera shoots so you just see the garbage can being lifted and Ricky's standing there and he just yells... Garbage Day and shoots the guy.
Yeah, it is a cool scene. I mean, because it's kind of got that weird, like, old school, like, western-y type of thing. Because when he lifts up the garbage can, it goes into that crazy huge zoom.
Yeah, like, I love it.
Because Ricky's like down the fucking street. And it, like, does it. It is a pretty cool scene until he's like, Garbage Day.
And the guy goes, wait, no.
Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm actually glad it took us this long to record this episode. When we were originally planning to record it, or at least when I watched it, fucking dog barking, are you serious? Never heard a dog bark once in this neighborhood. Sorry, everyone, if you could hear that. Now I'm distracted. When we were planning to record it or when I watched it, there had been some shootings that have taken place recently. And we're not going to get into politics or anything here, but it makes it really hard to laugh about a guy going around shooting people.
Sure.
So I was really glad that some time has passed since all that happened and we're recording this. But I hope if you're sensitive to that stuff, I hope you know it's...
Well, I mean,
it's all in jest. Obviously, we're two idiots.
I don't think you need to apologize for that.
No, I just, you know, I mean, it's people are sensitive about it right now. I mean, after I watched this, I was like, I don't really want to talk about this. I really don't want to talk about a guy going around fucking shooting people. Like at that time,
right.
At that moment.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, I'm just having a ball talking about it, just cracking up.
But, just yelling Garbage Day. Who the fuck yells Garbage Day? Is that even a clever pun?
That was kind of what I was going to say. Was like. What, like, if you were to do this, like, wouldn't you want to say something cool,
like witty?
Garbage Day. No one yells that ever.
I don't even know what Garbage Day is.
And he's picking up his trash, or was he bringing it out? I don't even know.
I don't know what he's doing. He puts one down and then he picks one up.
Oh my god! How do you make a movie this shitty? Like, how do you not just like have a plan? Like, how do you not have a pun? How do you not say, you know what? How about he's bringing the trash cans in so that way we can lift up the trash can?
Yeah.
Or anything. Or he's putting it, I don't know.
Anything.
Anything.
Anything that a normal person would do in like an everyday routine.
He's bringing a can out and then bringing it, just whatever.
Amato wanted to shoot a remake after we saw it in high school, but have it be Lucky Tray Day instead of Garbage Day.
Lucky Tray Day.
Do you remember Lucky Tray Day?
Yeah, I do.
The best.
What? It was like a sticker on the bottom.
If you got your shitty lunch from the school cafeteria and you had a sticker on the bottom of your carton, what do you call those things? Yeah, trays. Lucky trays. Yeah, fucking trays. Yeah. Yeah, you won a prize, like a free pencil. Lucky
Tray Day. But Garbage Day. I mean, it's an iconic scene. an internet meme.
Yeah.
So
one of the best.
Yeah.
Then a girl immediately rides her tricycle, who I don't know how she didn't hear the gunshots or nobody was concerned, but she rides it right into his dick. Like, she crashes into his balls.
Yeah. And he doesn't, he just kind of like brushes her off.
Yeah. So instead, he starts shooting at a car that's driving down the road. And then the car flips. But did you notice that stuntman? First of all, I've never seen a more obvious like cut between an actor and a stuntman, because it shows him shooting and it shows somebody who's totally not him just standing there weirdly. And the car, that stuntman almost died because the car flips and that guy didn't move and the car misses him by like a half an inch. It was actually incredible.
Have you ever seen I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yeah.
It's like that when the stuntman... Do you remember the scene with the stuntman and the bug?
Vaguely.
So the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my god, that was so bad. Because it's a woman in a bar and like a fight breaks out, if I remember correctly. And a fight breaks out and then it cuts past the woman and it's like a man with a mustache. And I was like, I remember I was watching it with Buzz Breadsticks and I was like, holy shit, that was so bad. And then it cuts to him again and it's a different guy. Now he's like 300 pounds with a mustache. And I was like, oh, okay. It's a joke. Like, that's awesome. But that's what that reminded me of, because it was just so like, you didn't even try.
Yeah.
You didn't even try.
So the car flips and it immediately bursts into flames, even though all he did was fire. Like, I mean, that's not even a heavy duty gun. Fire like a 22.
Honestly. And at this point, I didn't even know how they were going to end this movie. I was like, I was so confused because we're still in a flashback technically.
Right. Right.
He's surrounded by police, though. He puts the gun to his own head, and he's about to kill himself. The cops are screaming, don't do it. And he's out of bullets.
Yes.
I kind of liked that. That was pretty cool. Until he goes, no more bullets. Just young and stupid. All right. Okay. Not really what I'd call it, just young and stupid. But yeah, just stupid. And we cut back to the psych ward, and the doctor's dead. And Ricky apparently just walked.
He's gone. He just walked away.
Just walked out. All you can hear is people yelling, oh my god, he's loose.
And the reels are still recording.
He just walked out. He just walked out. Somebody calls a nun who is now in this movie, too. Like, somehow there's a nun in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, in the first one, there was a nun following these cops around, too.
Right.
Trying to help solve the case, as if that's a nun's job. And all of a sudden, there's a nun in this one, too, like, involved. And they're like, oh, we got to call Sister and tell him he walked out of here on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So weird. Oh, why is he loose? This is so insane. They say the orphanage is closed, but Mother Superior is still around. But they need to be able, he won't be able to find them. Ricky kills a Salvation Army Santa Claus and uses a payphone to call. We don't ever find out, but we assume it's Mother Superior.
Right. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Santa's back. Oh, yeah, I did say it was Mother Superior. Okay, here's the other thing. Why did she have all those lumps all over?
Dude, she looked like Grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. Why did she have all those?
I don't. Did something happen at the end of the first one?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
No.
Like nothing, someone threw acid all over her face.
Nothing happened. That's what it looks like. It looks like half of her face is Two-Face or the Toxic Avenger. Yeah. And here's the funnier thing, though. One of the police officers, he's talking to somebody, and he says, oh yeah, Mother Superior's still alive, but she had a stroke. Does the director think this is what a stroke is?
If a stroke and your face gets disfigured?
I think that's what he's trying to do. I think that's what he thinks a stroke is. I was so confused. I was so confused. Mother Superior lives in apartment 666.
Yes. Yes, she does.
Because a nun would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure apartment complexes probably skip that number. It's probably a number they skip. Like, they skip the 13th floor in some building.
Right, right.
Like, just don't do that. You don't stick a nun in it. Oh, boy.
Handicapped nun. With
a very terrible affliction on her face. Ricky's in the house now. Oh, there you are.
He goes, ha ha ho ho. And I thought he was going to make a joke like that, but I think that was just him laughing.
He's chasing Mother Superior around the house.
Dude, his stupid face pops in that hole.
Oh my god. Like, they were trying to have their shining moment.
He just looks so dumb. Just
stupid Ricky.
Stupid Ricky. Stupid Ricky.
I might need that garbage day shirt. No, I'm just looking at it on Joe. Just
pretty sweet.
The ability to have Ricky's dumb face on your shirt is just amazing. I look at that every day.
Pointing a gun out. I'll never get served anywhere.
So Ricky's chasing Mother Superior around the house, who, by the way, is an elderly woman in a wheelchair. And he's having a really hard
time.
Dude,
one of my notes was, why is this taking so long? The house can't be that big and she can't move.
6-minute chase scene in an apartment. Or is it an apartment? Yeah, it's got to be an apartment. Because But it's so weird because when they come inside, they run up, whatever, 666 in a 2-story apartment. It's like a house. It's like 4 probably apartments in it. 666. It's just insane. So Ricky grabs Mother Superior and he raises his axe and we cut. The police are arriving on the scene. It's a really weird point to cut.
Yeah.
Because the police aren't even inside the house, and this guy's got an axe above his head. Like, there's no doubt in your mind
that he kills her. Yeah.
And if he didn't kill her, I'd be like more disappointed at the filmmaking because I'd be like, well, still out of timeline. But the police arrive with a nun, of course, like they usually do.
Yeah.
They walk in and they find Mother Superior sitting there in her chair. The nun goes to touch her, make sure she's okay because she's not responding.
She looks great, by the way. She looks fine.
She looks wonderful. And her head rolls up.
There's no blood.
Ricky pops out and yells, boom.
Dude, okay. I didn't know if he yelled boom or if he yelled moo. I was like, wait a
minute. Honestly, I don't know. I don't care. I'll take moo. Moo. And they just blow him away. They just fucking light him up.
Yeah.
Shooting him. And through the window, Michael Myers style.
Yes.
Knowing this movie, they probably just stole the footage from Halloween or some other film. He lays there dead with his eyes closed.
And there's 12 more minutes left to this movie.
There's 12 more minutes left to this movie for credits. But at the end, because we hear that the nun has fallen and she wakes up and she's next to Mother Superior's head again. And she just starts screaming, and then it cuts to Ricky, whose eyes are open, and he smiles. And then they play a clip from the first movie at the end.
Yeah.
You fucking assholes. You fucking piece of shit. Fucking assholes. That movie sucked. That movie
is... It's bad.
It's real bad.
But it's not... A bad, bad.
No, it's not. It's not like a. It's not like a Peter Rottentail bad. That's unwatchable. This is just like really like.
It's just poor.
Like, you're a piece of shit for making this movie. You're a piece of shit for asking money from people when half of the movie is another movie.
Right. It's just lazy, poor filmmaking.
Like, and you hope, you pray to God that somebody got paid in that first movie again for doing that. That first movie was so good. You just fucking ruined it.
If Leonard Maltin gave the first one 0 stars, I want to sit down with him and watch this with him.
Leonard. Well, I mean, that's like that thing we talk about when people like give movies
5 stars. Like, you gave The Godfather 5 stars. Yeah, yeah. You want to give this?
Give like The Grinch. Yeah. Like, just stop it. Like, you got to have a scale that you're basing it all on. Leonard. If that is 0, what is this?
Exactly.
What is
this? Exactly.
What is this? Oh, man. That was a fun time, though. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope we sounded all right. I know we're both a little sick here. We actually got a message from our buddy Byron Jackson on Facebook, who said, because we did a live stream earlier, he said it wasn't as sick as disgusting as I thought it would be. So I guess we sound pretty good. But fun fact, we feel like shit.
Yeah, yes we do.
Absolute shit. So, that's fun. Oh, guys, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes if you can. Really means a lot to us. Just doing that helps us out. If you do that, send us an email with your address. Don't send me an email with your address. That seems kind of sketchy. Just send me an email. Let me know your username and password, and then I'll get your address once you warm up to me. And we'll send you out some free stickers. I think our buddy Gia, is that her name?
She just wrote a review.
Yeah, wrote a review. Send us an email or a message. I don't care. I don't care how you send it. Unless the email's not working and people have been sending me emails. That would suck and I'd feel really bad. So if that's the case, hit me up on Facebook, please, if you're one of those people. What do we want to do? We want to thank Harley Poe for allowing us to use the song Pagan Holiday. I think that band is done.
Really?
Yeah.
They're done?
I think he's said sayonara.
Really?
Moving on to greener pastures, so...
Huh.
It'd be great.
They just released an album.
I know. Huh. I know. It's their last thing. So that's that. So yeah, check him out because, yeah, show him you support him. HarleyPoe.com, Facebook.com/HarleyPoe. I'm on Twitter at I Hate Horror Show. Still can't get it.
I'm at JoeV421.
You can follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/I Hate Horror. And that's it, right? Instagram. We're on Instagram. Yeah. I Hate Horror. I think. I don't know. Follow us there. We're on Tumblr and stuff, too. Just seek us out. Terrible. IHateHorror.com is the other link I forget to mention. We are sick and on medication, so chill out, everybody. We got the Stannies coming up. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. Stannies, make sure you send us an email, send us a message, direct tweet, whatever these kids call it these days. Let us know some of your favorite moments from the show. If you could... do me a favor and tell me what episode it was into. That would help so I could pull some clips. And also, categories for the Stannies.
Yeah.
Anything. Nothing is off limits. I'm trying to limit to movies that we watched and talked about this year. But I don't care about having awards based on the show content. like the show content, like stuff we talked about or anything like that. So... send us your categories, your ideas, anything you want, and we'll probably include it.
I'm going to rent a tux while we record.
I'll wear a suit.
Wait, we're not really getting at Chili's, are we?
My wife really wants us to record it at Chili's. I don't think we can, though. I don't think I could do this in a Chili's, like in a booth in a corner. I think they'd ask us to leave. I really do. I don't think they'd be okay with it. I created an event on our Facebook page, and I did it so people could, like, talk in there so we didn't, like, bungle up the Facebook page with just, like, ridiculous posts, like, ridiculous ideas. But I think people took it seriously because people were like doing maybes and they were like kind of nearby. And I was like, I had to like post a message. I was like, no. Don't come to this. Like, please don't come to this Chili's. We will probably be at Joe's house.
I could set up my basement. We could invite the some of the nominees.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. We should probably do
just something. Read out of an envelope. Yeah.
I mean, that one we have to do. That one I think we have to do. Like video of it doesn't definitely. Even have to be live stream. I mean, we might as well because if we can't edit it, so it's gonna be one shot. So we're gonna, yeah, we need like cards that we can like tap.
Yes.
That would be so fucking good. I'm really excited about the Stannies. I've also actually developed our Stannies award. I'll just show Joe right now so you can get the.
Oh man, that's good. That's real good.
Yeah, so we'll probably post that in the next couple weeks. Anyway, until next time. Oh, wait. Next week, Treevenge.
Yes.
16-minute short.
Fantastic.
And we're also going to do And All Through the House, which is the first segment of Tales from the Crypt from the 70s.
72.
It's from Britain. They were the first ones to make a Tales from the Crypt movie. Yeah. And, but our very first episode, we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary, December 29th, which will be the last episode of the Stannies. Stannies are going to be two parts. So we figured we should, just pay a little homage to our first episode and do a different version of And All Through the House.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be doing. We'll be talking about those two shorts, And yeah, tune in next time. If you heard that noise, it was my nose. Clot. Guys, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. It's been an awesome year. So I can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah, definitely.
For Joe, this is Sean. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adios.